I'm Mario, the plumber. You have pipe problems.
Is he a plumber?
Yes. Are you kidding? You don't know Mario?
The Mario Brothers
are
plumbers.
Really,
by trade name.
Oh, gotcha.
That's what they do for a living.
I didn't know if they dabbled in all areas of home improvement.
A little bit. But
guys,
plumbing
they walk
is their
through
specialty.
Pipes.
Right.
With mushrooms.
Right.
Maybe there's a mushroom in your pipe. Are you just happy to see us?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I have too much energy today.
Dane Neal is here. You know Dane is the host of On the Road with Dane Neal, which is heard Saturdays from 2 to 4 right here on WGN Radio, Dane.
I won't be alone this week. Daryl Waltrip's going to be riding shotgun.
I love Daryl Waltrip.
Yeah.
Race car legend.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. Well, it's that time. So we're talking a little Super Bowl. He's excited about that, too. And then, of course, preview the Daytona 500.
Wow.
How's his brother Michael Waltrip doing?
He's bigger. He's unexplainably larger than Daryl, but he's funny and wacky, and he won't be. I don't know if he'll be on with, but
love those guys.
He's great.
The reason we were playing the Mario Brothers theme is you believe you can help me with my pipe problem at home. For people who weren't listening earlier, hot water not a problem. Have plenty of hot water if you need some. Stop by my house.
Yeah.
But cold water is in very short supply.
If you know me, you know I'm a glasses half full, frozen or otherwise. Right.
Yes.
So this is one of those things where this has happened to me, so I can't necessarily help on the fixing it, but I can help on the potentially more positive outcome side. This happened last year. We had a problem with the furnace and everything got really cold, and in one of the bathrooms, where the hot water worked and the cold water didn't, which means that the cold water pipe is frozen. It's frozen, but it doesn't automatically necessarily mean that it's going to that it's broken or going to burst or anything like that.
A plumber earlier suggested that we find the coldest part of the pipe, the exposed pipe downstairs in our basement.
Didn't that sound hard? When he said that, you're like, I'm done right there.
Well, you just look up. It's just if you don't
have tell by looking at it? Or do you have to you have to feel
pipe.
It, don't you?
Well, I mean, you can tell what the plumbing pipes are.
Oh, yeah. I know which those are.
Okay.
If I know it, anyone knows.
Is it copper or PVC?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep, it is. So I have to put a hair dryer on it to thaw it out.
Well,
does
if
that
you
sound
can,
right?
If you can warm it anyway, even if you can, now that would be like your kind of, that's the equivalent of the needle into the chest in Pulp Fiction kind of thing.
Oh,
like
really?
Immediate. But even if you have a space heat, like if you've got a crawl space or a basement, you could put a space heater down there to kind of heat things up. I'm not sure exactly if the pipes, outside, then I think you're maybe in some more trouble. But it could just, and we're going to have a big warm up. I think it's going to be 45 or something this weekend, is that hopefully it just doesn't like freeze to the point where it expands enough to break. So even if you have the faucet open, maybe it gives enough air for it to expand. You know how like you put a beer in the freezer?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it expands.
And it pops.
Right off
and you
the
forget
top.
About it.
Right. But if it was open, like let's say the beer was open, it would just kind of overflow. So hopefully it'll just kind of dissipate.
Pour
there.
Beer on the pipe.
No.
If it was like a week long, I think you'd have to be more worried because it would just solidify more.
But this
and
is just going to be two brutal days and then back
hope,
to normal.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah so it's not automatically the end of the world. It certainly could
All right, that's good news.
And
that's
they also, for your exposed pipe, because we have an unfinished roof of our basement, they make these little pipe covers, basically.
Yes.
It's not styrofoam, but it's kind of foamish.
Yeah.
And you just, like a pool noodle almost.
It's exactly like a pool noodle.
And you could probably use a pool noodle.
Right.
I might do it. A very colorful down there.
Pick some up. I'll go to American Sale on my way home and get a pool noodle.
Teal or purple. Those are the hot colors.
Those are the best ones.
Yes,
teal and purple. All right. Let's talk about Super Bowl food, if that's okay with you,
Dane.
Apparently, the big game is coming up on Sunday. That's what I'm hearing.
The big game is coming up. And the game part of it, and it's good that you approach it that way, Bill, because the game is often secondary.
Sure.
How often is it that it's your team or your favorite team that's in the game? And even if you don't care about football, people still care about Super Bowl Sunday. It's an official holiday, and I'll venture to guess that it's more of a food holiday even than maybe a sports holiday. So people get together and do that stuff, and they have foods that they like and that they enjoy. What would you guys think are those kind of top in that team photo of typical things that people say we're going to get some food for? The
wings
party. That's in there. Yep.
Chili.
It's got to be.
Yes. You guys already know this stuff.
No, it's just all these parties we go to. A sub sandwich.
Okay, the sub sandwich is in there too. And on the appetizer side, you say like
calamari.
Queso dip or taco dip.
Yeah.
Chips, dip, guacamole. And this was a surprising one. I love them, but deviled eggs.
Oh, no.
That is my go-to thing.
Really?
I make them and put capers on the top of them along with paprika. Very good.
Yeah.
Could you mold them to look like footballs? Is that more? Does that make them
they
better?
They already do.
They do kind of look like footballs?
That's where life kind of just works out.
Oh,
wow,
all right.
That's genius.
That's why people like them.
So those are some of the things. In the next segment, we're going to talk with Beth Peterson about some different things that you can do to kind of jazz it up, even on the cocktail side or some of the Super Bowl snack side to make your party even better. But some of the other accoutrements that you've got is that snack stadium. People want to make those. You know, you want to stack stuff and sandwiches.
And make it look like a ballpark.
Like a stadium.
Yes.
Right. You want to make it look like a stadium. And containing all of those things. Sunny Anderson, our good friend from the Kitchen Over on Food Network, she invented this. And I always say, you know, without people like Thomas Edison and Sunny Anderson, you wouldn't have these major advancements in life. And so she created the Infladium. And so it's a thing you just blow it up. You can wash it, rinse it off, blow it up. It's in stadium size. It's got pockets. So you can fit all the stuff in there. So
where do you get something like this?
You get it at Party City, Bill. And you know
Party
what?
City really?
Yeah. Even if they're out. She just texted me this morning. Even if they're out, they will overnight it to you.
Oh, wow.
From Party City. It's like $19. And it's something.
That's that, it?
Yep. Yep. And it looks great. It looks like a stadium. And then you just stack all your stuff in it. You know,
right.
You pour your chips and your dips and stuff like
that. That's adorable. Isn't the key to making this work having food readily available all through the game, like start to finish, at halftime? You want the food to be nonstop, right? You don't want to just serve it at a specific part in the
Food's
game.
Food's gone and the party's gone.
That's it.
Everybody feels like they need to leave and you'll never get them back.
Right.
It's like, hey, we're going to make a beer run. You know what? They're not coming back.
They're done.
You're not, especially if it's, you know, Tom Brady again in the Super Bowl. If you find yourself at the Super Bowl stadium, and this is the NFL and the Super Bowl is kind of an aspirational experience. You know, it's the kind of thing maybe you hope bucket list to go to once if your team gets there. The tickets, they say, you know, $700, $1,000. Get this. So Mercedes-Benz Stadium, if you've seen any of the features on it, this thing is like state of the art. This is like exactly what you would have wanted to
have.
Right, it's Soldier
Field. Soldier Field is,
we'll never host a Super Bowl because
too cold.
The specs. No, it doesn't hold enough people.
Not a good team.
No, the teams.
The teams don't matter.
Yeah, I know. And we do have a better team.
Yes, absolutely. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, in a place Atlanta's never going to have a good team. But they do have a great stadium. Now, listen to this. And the stadium food side, we've talked over the years about festivals and music festivals, how the food game is elevated and gotten just better, right?
Yeah.
Where it isn't just hot dogs, burgers, you know, nachos. Yeah. So if you're at that stadium, you can get anywhere through the place, $2 hot dogs, pretzels, popcorn, $3 pizza slices.
Oh, my God.
And nachos and $5 cheeseburgers and draft beers at this place. Now, in the land of where over, let's say, at some of the, you know, major sports venues, it's like $11 for a beer, especially
easily.
If you want to craft them. So they've got Fox Brothers Barbecue. This is one of the best barbecue places in the country. They've got a restaurant there to go. And then you've also got 1,200 beer taps holding 47 kinds of beers. Get this, $5 domestic and craft beers.
Wow.
At the Super Bowl.
That's
that
amazing.
Is so reasonable.
Yep.
Huh.
How come?
Yeah, what's going on? What's causing this?
I don't know if it's... I know that companies like Levy or some of these different companies that handle a bunch of places, they've done what they can to try to tailor the food choices. So you got some burn-ins, a lot of barbecue, some poutine. Even, of course, that's French, but still, you've got a little heavier food, you know, on the south side, the southern side of the country, as opposed to maybe healthier choices out on the West Coast. But I think you... I don't know. It's the Super Bowl. I would... Let's have a conference call with them, Bill, and just jack the prices up, because I think they're missing out. The people at this game could afford to pay
more. They're paying hundreds or thousands of dollars for tickets. A couple of extra dollars for a beer wouldn't matter to them, you wouldn't think.
But I love to see this. I love to see that, you know, there's a little bit of consideration on it. And I think maybe it's just what the market will bear. I guess the local area, that's just like the going rate. And so we're overpriced here in Chicago.
Right, a little bit. Dane Neal is here. We're talking food specifically for the Super Bowl, which is coming up on Sunday. Stick around, more of this in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. In a little while, 11:35, Marion Ross from Happy Days.
Oh,
will be
I'm so excited.
Us.
Oh,
it's going to be great.
Mrs. C. She's Mrs. C. Dane Neal is here. We're talking about special foods for a special day, the Super Bowl. And you have a special guest.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. You want an expert in. If you want to talk Happy Days, Marion Ross, that's your person.
Right, right, right.
You want to talk tailgates. The person that we've got on the line is the one that that you want. She's a MasterChef alum, Cutthroat Kitchen on Food Network, World Recipe Champ, and author of the Tailgate Cookbook. It's Beth Peterson, going to help us with some Super Bowl foods. Beth, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
How are you doing?
Freezing.
Oh, my gosh. My pleasure. This is my time of year.
Excellent. This is perfect. What's your favorite food to give somebody to prepare and say to somebody, it's the Super Bowl, live it up, here, try some of this. What would that food be?
Oh, I think I'm going to go back to the deviled eggs. The deviled eggs are like such a fan favorite. And In the book, I have a whole section on deviled eggs because that's how much I love them.
I do too. They're great.
Well, they're
so
great.
Much fun, and they're like the first thing to go. Like you put them out, and like they're gone. They're really fun.
Well, they're great. Just like, you know, I think on paper, as you draw them up, just the basic deviled egg is pretty good. But what is it? Because I know that you've got a lot of cool spins and takes on some of these things that are standard favorites, but you've kind of elevated them.
Yeah. So I've got the classic deviled egg, you know, the paprika, the smoked paprika on top and you know, sliced the classic way. And then as you dig deeper into the chapter, there's like, you know, a chipotle deviled egg. There's a jalapeno deviled egg. Mm. There's my favorite, which is the deviled bacon.
Mm.
So good. There's actually a little bit of brown sugar in the mix, which kind of sounds a little bit weird, but it's super delicious. Because you know how, like, sometimes you get the deviled egg, it's got a little bit of pickle relish in there?
Yeah.
So this kind of, like, has a little bit of that flavor to it, but then they get, like, the crispy bacon. There's, like, a bacon sail on top of it. It's so good. So there's a lot of really good, fun ideas for deviled eggs in there. And I think people appreciate sort of a different take on it. It's kind of fun.
On the dip side, dips are one of those things in the category, but you know, they can come in all shapes and sizes. And on the chip side, you know, there's a lot of different chips that you could use. What do you recommend or something cool on the dip side as opposed to just, you know, easy cheese and
onion dip that everybody
French
does.
Onion dip.
All right. So this one is so killer. And I mean, you have to be a blue cheese fan to like this one kind of. It has blue cheese in it. And it is a blue cheese dip, but like it's creamier and it's so delicious. I think even like a blue cheese, like kind of I'm just okay with blue cheese would really, really like this because it's not super intense blue cheese, but it's called the ridiculously addictive. Let me get it right. Ridiculously addictive blue cheese kettle chips. So it's super easy too. It's like takes 5 minutes on the stove to make the cheese sauce. And, again, there's bacon involved in the situation, but it's basically kettle chips. It's cool. It's great to bring somewhere, because you bring a bag of kettle chips with you, a plate, and if you can do the sauce at home and put it like in a small, like thermos or in a small crock pot, you bring that and then you drizzle it over the top of the chips right before you serve it and then sprinkle it with bacon and green onions, like, you know, diced green onions. It kills every time.
That
I mean, another
good.
One that it's gone in like moments.
Beth, yeah, isn't really one of the keys to this? I always call it grazing food. That's your smaller foods that are easy to pick up and easy to transport and move around as opposed to a bigger, thicker food. That's kind of one of the keys to this, right? Is the size?
Totally. It's a portable feast situation. You really want you want whatever you're bringing to a Super Bowl party or even like hosting at your home. You want these to be small, you know, bite-sized things so people can sample lots of different things. I think that's part of the fun, right? Is getting a chance to try lots of different flavors and different things. So
yep.
I definitely like, you know, like I do a chili bar. And the chili bar, actually, instead of bowls, well, I'll do little bowls, like small bowls that I'll get at like Party City or something like that. Or I do these little buns that I get at Costco that I carve the inside out of, not like the big giant bread bowls, because that's like a huge commitment, right? It's just these little teeny rolls that you carve the inside out, and then people can have just like a little bit of chili.
Oh,
and then
I
they
love
can have
that.
Yeah, they can have a little bit of the deviled eggs. They can have, you know, like a little bit of everything.
Beth,
and in the end, they get to try a bunch of stuff.
In honor of Tom Brady, would you recommend deflated bowls? Would that be a good way to go on Sunday?
That's kind of what I'm doing, right?
Yeah,
I'm
it's better.
Inside out, right?
Just old, but they still look kind of good, but
right.
They've got to be dead and stale inside.
Be,
you
sure.
know that. So,
that's
Beth,
right.
When it comes to like the drinks and the cocktails, it's an essential. You got to be, you know, have, you know, some of the, you get imbibed a little bit, right? And so some of my friends
right.
may bring a black garbage bag filled with loose natural light cans and Pabst Blue Ribbon or whatever. But you have some ways to have people kind of enjoy the cocktail side and some of that fix, but do it in some really, really cool ways.
Well, okay, so Dane, you know I am a huge fan of the Bloody Mary and having a lot of fun with the Bloody Mary. And a signature cocktail in general, I think, is a fun way to bring people together at any party because everybody gets a chance to try that first when they walk in. You're like, you know, I've got this great cocktail. But I think a stunner at a party is to host a Bloody Mary bar, to set up a gorgeous Bloody Mary bar with all the fixins and to have fun with, you know, the actual spirit. So doing a Bloody Maria, doing like a really smoky Bloody Mary with, you know, and doing tequila instead of vodka. I go to this really fun fundraiser that they actually support lots of different charities, but it's all Bloody Marys, and they do, it's just so much fun. So you can sort of replicate something like that for a Super Bowl party. And one of my specialties, it's actually not a cocktail, but it mocks a Bloody Mary, is the Bloody Mary Jello shot, which is so fun. It's in a Campari tomato, and, you know, you use Bloody Mary mix and vodka, and you do, you know, put it in a Bloody Mary, in a Campari tomato, dust it with a little bit of celery salt and some red pepper, some crushed red pepper. And they're super cute, and they're delicious.
Oh, that sounds good.
All right, people are confused about this blue cheese dip. We don't have a ton of time, so what do we need to know for that?
Like, what are the ingredients for it?
Yeah.
So it's blue cheese. It is cream cheese, blue cheese, heavy cream. There's salt, pepper. I think I throw a little bit of nutmeg in there, if I'm remembering the recipe correctly. And you just kind of melt that up in a pot. And then, like I said, you put it in something to keep it warm. And then you drizzle it over the kettle chips.
Blue cheese kettle chips. I found it online. So can we post it? It's also in the Tailgate Cookbook.
Absolutely. Yes, nice. For sure.
Beth, I've heard some ambitious hosts or hostesses will take whatever the cities are that are in the Super Bowl and have foods that are reflective of those cities. Like New England, you would think clam chowder or lobster rolls. Los Angeles, mudslides, I guess. So is that something that you're a fan of? Do you like doing that sort of thing?
Jeez.
You know what? So great that you would ask that. I actually, one of the reasons that I wrote this book is because I was a spokesperson for ESPN Game Day. For 2 years, I traveled around the country to all of the ESPN game days as a tailgate spokesperson for Sam's Club and Coke Zero. And so what I learned was the regionality of tailgate is awesome. It's amazing. So I absolutely do that. And in the back of the book, I go specifically to, you know, all the different regions of the country and post recipes recipes from chefs in that area, friends of mine that are tailgate chefs in that area, or recipes that I've come up with on my own. And like for the East Coast, I've got the Philly cheesesteak sliders. For the Midwest, we've got our bacon cheeseburger, tater tots, shepherd's pie.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that sounds good.
Right? And, of course, I've got a slow cooker Chicago Italian beef sandwich in there. Got to have that.
Sure.
And one of the cool places that I went to was North Dakota State, and they had a Norwegian soup that was, like, served at every tailgate there, and that's in the book. Like, in the Northwest, there's a brown bag salmon, which is actually something I had at one of the tailgates. And, you know, in the South, there's a hot muffaletta dip. Yeah, so there's some great
something
recipes
for everybody.
In here.
Yeah, sounds
so
good.
I think that's really fun to do that.
And Beth, we'll have the links up at WGNRadio.com as well. But, you know, food doesn't define you. Do you have any frozen pipe advice for Bill?
You know what, Bill? A couple days ago, I had water that was spraying on my heating air conditioning unit, and I had to figure out how to turn the water off in my house. So I gotcha.
Oh, no, it's horrible. It's horrible. Beth, great to talk to you. Thanks so much. I hope you have a great Sunday.
Thanks. You guys have fun.
Thanks, Beth. And it's the
Peterson.
Tailgate Cookbook, 75 game-changing recipes. It's available wherever your
excellent.
Favorite books are sold.
Dane, thank you for braving the elements and coming out today.
I'm really available at 2 p.m. on Saturday with Daryl Waltrip, and I'll see if Michael joins us as well.
That'll be excellent.
Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
You know what? I was telling Maxwell, and this is the absolute truth. He was saying, like, why is Tom Brady so good? Maybe the other guys are going to win. And I said, he's like a Terminator. You have to kill him all the way dead, like a big fire or a building has to fall on him. So if they can
work. Father of the year.
Incredible analogy, Dane. Thank you so much. It's Dane Neal from On the Road with Dane Neal, Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m.